the education issues that matter most to you. It's After School with Dr. Watlington, only on KYW News Radio.
I'm Mike DiNardo and Dr. Watlington. Let's get right to it. The school district making some news this week. You are presenting your final facilities plan to the school board for consideration. In a nutshell, what are your recommendations?
Well, you're absolutely right. We'll be presenting the final recommendations to the Board of Education for its consideration this week. We've made a few more recommendation changes. And again, I want to underscore final this time for the board's consideration. Number one, the plan changes from being a $2.8 billion plan to a $3 billion plan. Number two, the number of modernizations have increased from 159 to 169. We're going to do a little bit more work in Council-Matic District 3 and Council District 5, given that those two districts had the greatest share of school closures back in 2012-13. We'll continue to maintain 6 co-locations of schools, and certainly we've changed the number of school closures from 20 to 17. In addition to having already removed both the closure of Conwell School and Motivation, I'm also recommending to the Board of Education to remove Ludlow from that recommendation in Council-Matic District 5. Again, I want to underscore final plan. We look forward to the board's consideration on their decision to do it on Thursday of this week.
Lankinol High and Robeson High are still receiving a lot of political support to remain open. Can you describe to us why you believe that they should close?
The nation's 8th largest school district is making significant progress. Test scores are up, graduation rates up, dropout rate is down. We've got the best investment grade credit ratings that we've had in 4 decades. Despite that, Philadelphia has too many children who cannot read on grade level. And this administration, when this administration says we intend to be the fastest improving large urban school district in the country, we don't mean that as a cliche or just a statement or a slogan. And it's not for bragging rights. We need more of our young people who disproportionately are black and brown to be able to read and do math on grade level. And notwithstanding the significant progress we're making, we've got to double down and do 3 times more than what we are doing right now. And this administration intends to do it if the board gives us the green light to continue to drive forward progress with its goals and guardrails. The reason we've not changed the recommendation to merge Robeson into Motivation with Motivation and to merge Lankinol High School with Saul High School, we just cannot continue to operate as many small high schools. I won't use the term small boutique high school, although I meant it very affectionately, because in order to push more high-quality academic resources into the schools, more algebra teachers into the middle grades, to have more high-quality arts and music, and to drive faster performance, we just have to be more efficient and strategic with our limited resources. Now, let me say this. People say to me all the time, don't you manage under the board's leadership north of a $4.6 billion budget? What do you mean you can't pay for this? And I remind them all the time, this $4.6 billion budget is accountable for some 200,000 public school children across the nation's 6th largest city. And we've just got to use those resources more strategically. So we've made 12 major modifications to the recommendations that the Board of Education and President Streeter will consider this week. We think they are appropriate, and we think it reflects the notion that we heard our community.
I'm thinking about the timing of all this. Not only does the plan go to the school board for consideration on Thursday, but as we speak, you're bringing your budget before city council, which has certainly, you've certainly got a lot of criticism from various council members about this plan. Do these modifications, do you think they will sufficiently reduce the temperature in council?
I think these modifications are, one, a step in the right direction. Certainly, in Council Districts 3 and 5, the two council districts that had the greatest number of closures in 2012-13. We're really sensitive about how we put additional resources in both of those districts. In fact, there's a significantly higher monetary investment in both of those Council-Matic districts. So I think that should help some. Number two, I think as long as we continue to focus on the North Star, which is, if funded appropriately, this $3 billion plan will reduce the number of schools in the district with poor or unsatisfactory school ratings from 85 to zero. We'll be able to double pre-K access across the city. We can drive faster progress with regard to test scores and graduation rates increasing and the dropout numbers decreasing. And then finally, parent and community feedback and elected officials' feedback is woven all through these 12 changes to the superintendent's recommendation to the Board of Education. So I think on balance, this being a good plan but not a perfect plan means that we can't make good the enemy of perfect, but I think what we're presenting will absolutely move us down the road to doing great things for the children of Philadelphia.
Also, as part of the plan, you decided not to convey the seven schools that would close to the city, as the mayor had wanted for her housing plan. What's the thinking there? Why not convey those closed properties to the city?
Well, certainly the board is already in discussion about the persistently vacant properties, and we should separate the two issues. The persistent vacant properties, the board is already in discussion with the city and the mayor. Those processes are moving forward. At this time, I made the decision to pull back a bit and give us some time, the Board of Education, to have ample time to review legal considerations, policy considerations, et cetera, relative to the seven now properties, not 10 anymore, but seven currently occupied schools that we're recommending for closure. And we need a bit more time to focus on that. Not saying we can't come back to that at a later date. I would not want to recommend that those seven properties sit vacant forever, but we need to take a little bit more time and provide more opportunities for the board to consider legal and policy implications.
Council members O'Rourke and Rulandau want students to have unlimited SEPTA passes. Right now, students have a SEPTA pass that goes from 5:30 a.m. until 8 p.m. during school hours and after school hours, but they would like students to have access to a pass that gives them unlimited rides. What is your thinking there, and how much of an additional cost would that be to the school district?
First, let me say we're facing a $300 million structural deficit, which we intend to pay down and to eliminate by fiscal year 2029-30 with Mayor Parker's help. And certainly relative to the request about SEPTA passes from the council members you referenced, to do that would have a price tag of some $79 million if it applied only to district-operated schools, and a price tag of $136 million if it applied to district-operated schools as well as charter schools. Those are certainly not dollars we have built into our budget, given our structural deficit. But I have heard the request and don't have a lot more to add at this moment, but the kind of 10,000-foot view at this point.
Yeah. Aside from the financial considerations, do you agree with the concept that a student pass should be 24 hours?
As a public school superintendent, I'm laser-focused primarily in students being able to get to school for brick-and-mortar instruction, to have access to before- and after-school activities in the schools that are providing those. Certainly, if there are some Saturday school opportunities, I never want transportation to be a barrier. I haven't fully reviewed the full 24-hour access, so I don't know the full spirit and origin of that request, but we'll be glad to do more homework and to look further into it.
Fair enough. We'll revisit that at a future conversation. As always, thank you. If you, the listener, have a question for the superintendent, feel free to contact us at afterschool@kywnewsradio.com. And if you want to listen live to the program, tune in Wednesdays at 3:45 p.m. on 103.9 FM.